sitting there and says they pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Isn't that wonderful that there's a strong plead for us this evening? It's not a weak or it's not a feeble one, but it was done with a strong hand and a mighty hand when Jesus died on the cross. Amen. Five bleeding wounds he bears. Five bleeding wounds he bears. Received on Calvary a poor effectual prayer. They strongly plead for me.
Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and the Lord bless your brother Gary and sister Alva. Really appreciate our sister in the organ and brother Gary leading the songs. And let us turn again to the book of Hebrews tonight, and the Lord bless those also that tuned in this evening that maybe couldn't be here in person. We're really thinking of our sister Eileen tonight, for God's strength and God's comfort at this time, and also for David, that the Lord would touch him. Praise God. We want to read from Hebrews chapter 9, and I want to continue on with the glorious garments of the high priest. And maybe this morning I didn't really get into it all. Maybe it was an introduction, and so much on this I've been studying the day again quite a bit, and it just keeps going and going. It's never ending. God's word's like that, isn't it? But I'm not going to try and hold you too long tonight, so don't go worried. I'll have any more than 3 hours. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Hebrews 9 verse 24, and the Lord bless each one. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. So it's not just the picture of it, it's the real thing. Isn't that wonderful? Into heaven itself, now till appear in the presence of God for us. Let us bow our heads again this evening, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for the lovely person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that there is indeed a man in the glory that appears for us. Oh, what a wonderful truth this is this evening, that we have an advocate with the Father through Jesus Christ the righteous. And Lord, your precious blood washes us and cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Lord, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb this evening, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kissup. Sanctify us, and we'll praise your name. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me. I need you, Lord, and I thank you that the Holy Spirit is available. I pray the Holy Ghost will move tonight and make your word live to every one of us in this room. And those listening in, bless our sister Eileen and give her strength and grace. And for David, we ask for a complete healing. Amen. And deliverance from the power of death. In the name of Jesus Christ, save souls, we pray. Heal the sick and restore the backslidden. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. And our brother Matthew, it's a wonderful picture up tonight, and you can look at this picture while I go through some of these things this evening. And I might mention some things about Israel. I was thinking about them today, and we'll just see how the Lord leads us this evening. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely immeasurable, and it is so important for the pardoned and for the elect of God. 10 times in the epistle here to Hebrews, the Lord speaks to the believers concerning their high priest. This is personal. Not just the high priest, but their high priest, who now appears before the throne of Almighty God for us. So we thank the Lord when someone's mentioned so often in the Bible, it to draw our attention to it. He is there by virtue of the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus Christ is our high priest in heaven by virtue of the blood that was shed on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ, of Christ alone, is a wonderful, blessed foundation of the revelation with God and of His glory. And I mentioned a lot about the foundation of the tabernacle when I preached on the silver. Many remembers that. It's a blood foundation. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. That's God's law and God's principle. So we thank God for the blood. Jesus Christ is in heaven because of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And it wasn't in heaven because of Him, but for me and you, so that we could go to heaven. And every man and every woman that will accept and acknowledge their need of salvation, and acknowledge you're a sinner by nature and a sinner by birth, and repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ, they can and will be saved the moment they call on the name of the Lord. Our great high priest is understanding. He has compassion, he has mercy, he has comfort, he has help, and he has a listening ear. He has also grace and he has also power. That's what our high priest has. There's someone tonight that can comfort us. There's someone can strengthen us. There's someone can hear us when we pray. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. Is that someone tonight? Praise God. All this is in this great high priest, Jesus Christ, as our forerunner, because he has went before for us. Paul says he's the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And if there's first fruits, there's other fruits to follow. He already has reached the goal. And we have the firm assurance that he will bring us there to John's gospel. That's in chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know. Then he says, I am the way. I am the way. The way to heaven is this great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he the way, but let me say this again this evening. He's absolutely the one and only way. For there's no other way. The Bible warns us there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. He's already reached heaven. During the time of his earthly existence here in this world, where it was full of sin, full of misery, full of corruption, he intercedes for us. We're here, we know there's sin, we know there's corruption, but the Lord Jesus is in heaven and he intercedes for us. And not only is he in heaven interceding for us, but the Holy Spirit was sent to the real believers. The Holy Ghost was sent so that he would comfort us in times when we need comfort. The great comforter, the Holy Spirit, is here to comfort us and to bless us. Hebrews 7 verse 25 tells us, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm glad this evening that we don't need to re-offer him. Amen. The Lord can never be offered again. He was offered up once and for all. We're not left alone. He is our surety. Now, I preached on that actual word. I don't know if anybody remembers it. I preached on the word oath. I preached on the word surety. I'd done the book of Romans. I'd done the book of Hebrews. And I went into a lot of these words. He's our surety. I tell you, as Brother Gary mentioned already, it's not a chance work. This is a sure thing. Amen. The Lord is our surety tonight, that we will be led safely through all the misery and right into the presence of Almighty God. He's went before us. And he's coming again for all that's saved. He's coming for you. Praise God, he's coming again. Hebrews 10, verse 11 and 12. And every high priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sins, not for sin, but for sins, that covers a whole lot. Forever. So that's every single sin that can ever be committed in this world, Jesus Christ has offered a sacrifice for the whole lot. Now that's why you can never tell me it's limited. I don't believe in such as that. I know people preach that. The Lord bless them if they do preach that. But you see, they're not God. I can guarantee you that. And you could look at somebody and you could limit them and you could put them out, but God could put them in.
Amen.
What would you do then with that? I'll tell you something. Jesus can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. All that will come unto them. He's mighty to save. My Bible tells me it's not God's will that any should perish. Is that the word of God? But that all might be saved. Jesus wants to save. That's why I'm preaching about salvation. Because the Lord wants to save. But this man, after he had offered up for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews 8, verse 1 to 2, here's what it says. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Oh, I love that. We have such an high priest who has sat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, not man.
Amen. Yes.
Now if you can receive it, this is not an earthly building he's talking about, but God came to his own temple.
Amen.
You know, he said, if you tear this building down in 3 days, I'll resurrect it. They said it took over 50 years to build this place. But you see, they were looking at a natural building, but Jesus was speaking of his own body. How many knows that? And God came to his temple, and he pitched in that temple. And the fullness of God was in him. Jesus was the tabernacle of God on earth. And he's our high priest. We must not lose heart in tribulation or in present time. The word gives us a new courage and a new power. This is why Christians need to hear not a philosophy or some good sense, but we need to hear the word of God preached. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. When I visit the sick, I read them God's word. I read them scriptures concerning healing. If the word saved, I'd read them scriptures concerning salvation. Because the word of God is powerful. There's no word of God void of power, but every word of God is powerful. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, wherefore saying, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us with patience, and let us run with patience a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He is the author and he is the finisher. You're not the author. I'm not the author. Aren't you glad he's the author?
Amen.
You know what an author of a book is? It's the man that wrote it.
Yes.
And you're written epistle seen read to all men. He's the man writing for you. I tell you, that's wonderful living. And the finisher of your faith. I need more faith. Well, he says he'll give you it. He's the finisher of it. Hallelujah. Look, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down to the right hand of the throne of God. We owe everything. Every one of us will owe everything to the lovely person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe everything to him tonight, the Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our thanksgiving, of our worship, of our praise, of our adoration. No man's worthy of it, only Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No man's worthy of it. And the Lord says he'll not give us glory till another. The details of the high priest's garment speak to us of the Lord Jesus in his glory. First of all, this evening, I want to speak to you about this robe that this high priest wore. And maybe your brother can put up this robe tonight that this high priest wore. The robe of the high priest with his belts, sash. Some people call it the sash. the belt round its midst. It's known as a sash. I'm sure the Orange people and the Ulster people here know all about the sash. How many knows what the sash is? Well, I know what one is. I used to wear one when I was a wee lad. But this high priest, this is like a sash round his middle here, round his waist. It's tied round him. There's different names for it. There's different ways of... There's a fella put up a photo the other day of a fella with a sash on. I'd never seen one like it ever in my life. And there's another fella on explaining about it all. I'm not going to go into that tonight. I would have things to say about it, but they wouldn't be good. It would concern the Masonic. There wouldn't be anything like this man's wearing here. This, I'm not talking about this sash, this robe. I don't want to off the track this evening. Praise God. But I tell you, we want something that when we look at it, it points to Christ. Amen. Not to some other thing. Amen. Not to the religious works of climbing up a ladder. Amen. Or some other movement, but the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. And the Lord bless all the men that wear the sashes. And you know, I told a fellow I worked with years ago, he wanted me to come to a certain movement. And I said, tell him, if you let me come and preach to you the history of your movement, I'll come. But he wouldn't do it. But I read the history of it all. There was genuine men at the start. Christian men. And there still is some maybe today, but not all of them. Not all that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. Isn't that right? The spotless white of the cotton. And this garments and this high priest was made out of the white. The spotless white of the cotton was the finest possible quality. And it couldn't be imitated. It couldn't be imitated. These things are specially made. You see, this priest, I don't want to go into every detail tonight. It'll take me so long. But the first garment he puts on is white. Now you'll know when Jesus washed their feet, he was in a white garment. He stripped down to the white linen garment. I might mention that later. But this garment was white. This also illustrates for us the personal perfection and purity of the man Christ Jesus. He is the just one. When did he get a hold of that word this evening? The just one. He is given this title of honor 7 times in the New Testament. 7 times in the New Testament he is called the just one. I tell you this evening, there's no other man can take that title, only the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the just one. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God in heaven. And we have a perfect man in heaven for us this evening. You see, this all here, this whole thing, it's of immeasurable significance, really, when you study it and see it. You should see the Lord and everything. And I'm not saying I'm the best person to preach this. I'm probably not, but I'll do my best with it. We are represented before God by a glorified man. Christ is glorified. How many knows we've still to get that? We're waiting on a body change, but the Lord is glorified. And the Lord said, don't touch me yet, for I must be glorified. Then he talked about the glory I had with the Father before the world began. He's glorified tonight. And he's in heaven. And he's praying for us. The Lord's praying for you. It's great to have somebody to pray for you. Do you know that? Amen. And the Lord's praying for you. And it's good to pray for each other. The Bible tells us we're to pray one for another. Hebrews 7:26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Many of us would sin. If we were tempted with certain things, we'd fall. But the Lord never fell, and he never sinned, and he couldn't sin. What do you think of that? Isn't that wonderful? I'm tiny heaps. The spotless Lamb of God tonight. Therefore, his intercession and petition for us before the majesty of God is the highest importance. It's of the highest importance that he's praying for us tonight. What of this coat also this evening that this high priest wearing? The coat of the high priest was entirely blue. So you see, the first thing's ornaments, it's the white, the linen, and you could say a lot about that, but I have to go over this quickly or I'd never finish it. And this, then it goes on top as the blue. The coat of the high priest was entirely blue. This again is reference to the heavenly origin. The Lord came from heaven to earth. He condescended, he came down. He lowered himself, the Bible says, a little lower than the angels. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross for me and you. And the ministry of our Lord and Savior, this heavenly origin, the character and ministry of the Lord and Savior, he came from heaven and he's gone back to heaven. He came from heaven and he's gone back to heaven. There he represents his heavenly people whom he will lead to glory to the place determined by God. And God has determined a place for you, and God has determined a place for me. And the Bible says, Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. You know, when me and the wife was going out at the start, and we didn't have O2 or 3 or iPhone, you know, all them things, we didn't have any of that. There wasn't none of that. I wrote her a letter once a week. And she's all my letters somewhere in a shoebox. And my writing's terrible. I don't know why she kept them. But she has them anyhow. But I wrote to her once a week. And then I would have phoned her on a Sunday evening after church at a red phone box in Dromore, out along the wee road for the red row of houses is in the Lurgan Road. Can't even mind the name, but anyhow. But I'd downed her out there on a Sunday evening and I'd ring her every Sunday night in the phone box. You put your wee money in the red box. These young fellas wouldn't know anything about them today. But that's how it was. Some people maybe had a phone, you know, the phones were about that size then. But when we were preparing to get married, she started to send me clippings of wallpaper and pictures of curtains and different wee things. And we got a wee house in Dromore. And I got these papers, or she sent these wallpapers over. And I paid a fella and he wallpapered the house the way she wanted it. Put the curtains up the way she wanted it. All the different things the way she wanted it. So when she came, I had a place prepared for her. She was my bride. I had prepared a place for her in the natural. She was shocked because she'd seen it before I started. Then she'd seen it when she came. And there was an awful difference. I put a wee kitchen in it. Her grandfather loaned us the money and we put the oil heating in it. And the whole floor and everything had to be dug up. And there's a fella I know, he lives near my mum and he's a great wee decorator. And he did it really cheap. Painted it and did the rooms up. And while I was on the honeymoon, I paid another man and he put the carpet down while I was away. And the whole thing was all arranged. And the fella I worked with tiled it for a wedding gift. And that's the way it was. And when she came back, when we came back to that wee house, it was all prepared. Now that's something earthly and it didn't cost that much. But the Lord has went and prepared a place for his bride. And the Bible says the bride has made herself ready. And the Lord's coming for her because he loves her. And he's coming to get her. And he's really coming. And no man knows the day nor the hour when he's coming, but he's coming. We know we're in the season of the coming of the Lord because the nations are the way they are and the things are in the world the way we are. We know we're near the time of the end. We're living in the last days. Not right. But nobody knows the day nor the hour. But the Lord's coming. And he wants people ready. You know, it's a great thing for us that's saved, but it's not such a great thing for the unsaved. When the bride of Jesus Christ leaves this earth, there's going to be a time that the Bible talks about called Jacob's trouble. It's called the Great Tribulation. And it's going to come on this earth. A time like there's never been before. but the Lord loves us. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, for the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So we see the blue, and I've mentioned these things before. Then you have the bells. You have the bells on the end of these garments, and they're golden bells. And as long with these bells as well as pomegranates, I'll mention them in a moment. The pure gold portrays his testimony. You see, because Jesus Christ is not just a man, he's deity. And he's not just deity, I was going to say this, he's supreme deity, that's what I believe. He is God in flesh. He's more than a man. Amen. I like how Spurgeon says it. Spurgeon calls him the God-man. Amen. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fashioned to the bottom of the garments alternatively with the pomegranates. The ringing of these golden bells is a sign from the heavenly tabernacle. The pure gold out of which the bells were made testifies of Christ's deity and the witness of his love. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved the world. He gave his best. God gave the best he had. The best he had. On the day of Pentecost, 10 days after the ascension of the risen Lord, the people of Jerusalem had an unusual existence. A message from heaven was heard, answering to the sound of the golden bells, and the Holy Spirit witnessed to the glorified Christ. And 3,000 people were moved in their hearts by the sound, accepted the sound of salvation. And God supernaturally gave them people languages they never learned. And they were fit to preach to everybody in the tongue wherein they were born. That's the power of God. And these pomegranates, with their pronouncement, riches in the seeds, pomegranate seeds, a rich seed, as a splendid picture of the incorruptibility and of the fruitfulness and the vigor of the life of Jesus Christ. There's vigor and there's life in Christ. There's life in Christ like no other. The Lord Jesus Christ is powerful, fruitful in his ministry for us. He is ministering for us in complete glory, as is illustrated by these three colors. The pomegranates were arranged alternatively in colors of blue, purple, scarlet. Wonderfully varied fruits were produced by the first Christians at Pentecost. They had fruits. The early Christians at Pentecost had fruits. How many believes that? They tortured them. They done all sorts to them. And they still loved the Lord even more. They forbid them to speak in the name of Jesus. The church today is a far cry from the early church. Let me say that this evening. People talk about being restored back. I'll tell you, the real restored back group will be a tongue-talking Holy Ghost group. And if they're not, they're not it. They're a mikvah. They're an imitation. The real group, that's what it'll have to be. Because that's what the first group was. And the real group will have no fear. They'll have gifts of the Spirit amongst them. The power of God will be with them. The power of God will be on them. And I'll tell you, they'll be used to God. These fruits varied. These Christians, these first... How many knows the first Christians were Pentecostals? Pentecostals! A lot of people don't like to hear the word Pentecostal today. But the first church was a Pentecostal church. And the bride of Jesus Christ, let me go on record and say it, will be a Pentecostal bride. And if she's not, she'll not be in the rapture. Because the thing you need to go is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is a seal of God. Ephesians says, where be your seal by the Holy Ghost? Unto the day of redemption. There's 10 wise, 5 wise, 5 foolish. And the all lamps, but 5 of them run out of oil. But the 5 that had the oil went in. And the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with this love. To the amazement of those around them, they were gifted by supernatural language. Their actions were completely changed. Heavenly life and royalty burned in them and showed in them. But also a readiness to suffer was apparent in them also. They suffered for the Lord. Suffered for the Lord. When they told Paul, you're going to go up, you know, Paul, and they're going to do this and do that, Paul said, I'm set to do it. That's more or less what he said. I'm ready to die for the Lord. happy life of fellowship came into the being and continued amongst them. Philippians 1 verse 11 tells us, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God. Then we have the ephod. I want you for a moment to look at the ephod. And if a brother brings it up tonight, you see this breastplate on all this which is round this high priest tonight. Now I don't know, maybe it's too far back and you can't see it. No, if you bring the whole picture up, brother, of that priest. How many can see this? You see the breastplates on the front, but there's the ephod. And then there's your you see here, this is your ephod, this garment here. It's like an apron. It's really like an apron. How many understands that? It's like the apron. Now these colours was placed over it. These stones, and I'll get that in a moment. The ephod consisted of two shoulder pieces that were fastened together and reached nearly to the knees. It's like almost like an apron. But you see, all these beautiful colours is in this ephod. They cover the back and they cover the chest. This ephod, so it goes over shoulders, it's down the front, it's down the back, it's like a big apron. Everybody knows if you wear an apron, it keeps you clean. The wife gives me one now and again. The apron when I'm eating the dinner. But an apron's handy. Amen. You always laugh, and I know right in the heel of an apron. Keeps you clean, bud. No, but farmers as well used to use the aprons, milking and all. Isn't that right, brother? There was aprons. And I remember milking cows as a young fella for a man, and I used to have this thing, a word like an apron. And it kept your clothes clean. But this apron here, it's over the shoulders. This ephod is called. There's real importance in this. If I can get it out to you this evening. They covered the back, the chest. The yarn of which was made with bright colours, blue, purple, scarlet, also white, bios, was present. Now here's a word. Did any of you people, older people, ever hear the word bios? B-Y-S-S-U-S. Now, I never heard of it. You know what it means? It's like a ribbon. It's like a sewing. Agent, like a sewing. And you see it's in this high priest garment. It's a real fancy piece of work. This is a skilled work with this high priest at on him here. And you see, when you go right back to all what Moses told them and commanded them how these things were made, God gave all this whole picture to Moses. And this was all to be carried out exactly the way he said. The very golden thread that was sewn through this as well speaks of DNA. The gold. The gold always speaks of God. And the white speaks of the righteousness as well. But you see this yarn, also the bias was present. This embroidered cloth was woven with threads of beaten gold. It was marvellous, a marvellous, wonderful piece of work, full of beauty and glory. The whole was a type of the nature of the Son of God and His high priestly honour. A picture of divine glory. God bestowed this honour on Him only because the Lord Jesus bore the judgment on the cross and because He arose afterward. Jesus Christ was bestowed this honour by the Father. You said, don't know about that. Well, you're going to know about it before I'm finished, because I'm going to read you. Hebrews 5, verse 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made an high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art my Son, today have I begotten thee. As He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. God put Him in this position. And He took our place on the cross. The Lord took our place. Look what the Lord said about Aaron, the high priest, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 28. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? So Aaron wore this ephod. And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Today the people of Israel are characterized by a prophecy of utmost importance. They've lost the ephod. And they're looking for it. deeper just in an apron. I don't know if I can fully get this over or not. I need the Lord to help me. But Hosea chapter 3, verse 4, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. They have no high priest who could enter into the beauty of the ephod before God for them. There's no one to do it. They are a people without an ephod because they rejected the true heavenly sent one from God. They turned him down. They rejected him. The tragic consequences of this decision are clearly placed before us. And consequences, Israel must go through great and terrible tribulation and judgments and troubles. And they're gonna. And they have. And in spite of this, God sent a comforting promise also of the earthly people through Hosea. Let's read verse 5 as well. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now, but the heavenly people of God, the pardoned and redeemed of the Lord, rejoiced in their high priest, who is the right hand of the majesty in high, who represents them day and night. The fasteners of the shoulder pieces of the ephod were remarkable as well. The shoulder bits. For their two large gems set in gold bore the names of the six tribes of Israel, each precious stone having six names engraved in it like the engraving of a signet. In a related sense, they tell us that the blood-bought church is unforgettable for God. In this, each believer may see a sign that the Father in heaven continually remembers his children. Now, not only does the Father in heaven remember his children, but he remembers Israel. And when you take the Bible, you'll know the preaching of Paul the Apostle, that Paul tells us we were a wild branch grafted in, and Israel was a true branch. How many knows that's the Bible? They were blinded so that we could see. God deliberately blinded Israel so that we could see. But one day, the Gentiles are going to be blinded, and God's going to open the eyesight of Israel. Let me read you some scriptures about it. And if I don't get to the rest of the stuff, it won't really be, it'll not be important. Isaiah 49:15. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. God's talking to Israel. And he's using this example. Exodus 28:12. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, for the stones of the memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon the two shoulders for a memorial. The Lord won't forget them. Isaiah 42:21. Remember thee, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. And the Jewish people tonight are blinded for a season. That's why you hear a great prophet of God saying, when people say, I'm going to be a missionary out to the Jews, he said, I don't believe God sent you. Because God will save Israel one day. Now there will be Jews get saved. How many knows that? There will be Jews get saved, I believe. Not even counting the 140. Who believes that? I believe that. But God as a nation is going to deal with Israel in one day. That's the Bible. We know God will save Israel in one day as a nation and seal 144,000 at once with the seal of God. Now let me give you a scripture that really brings this out tonight, and I'm going to close shortly in a moment. And I hope this doesn't take me too much off what I'm saying this evening. Enjoy the word of God. I hope I'm not going too fast. Romans 11 verse 15. You see, Israel and the church is different. God deals with Israel as a nation, and God deals with the church, everyone as an individual. That's the difference. You're in the bride as an individual. God brings you in. You're saved. You have an experience individually. God deals with you individually. Now, he will deal with Jews as well. We're not saying he doesn't, but he deals with them as a nation, as a group of people. And the Bible says that. Now let's read here what Paul says in verse 15 of Romans 11. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but the life from the dead? Verse 16. For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so also the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I may be grafted in. Verse 20. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Now he's talking about me and you as Gentiles, and he's talking about Israel. Verse 21. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. There's coming a day when God will finish with the Gentiles, and he will turn to the Jews. And that day is near. It is near. Verse 22. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God in them which fell. Severity, but toward thee goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also that abide not still in unbelief shall be glorified in him. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off, for if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God blinded the Israelites was the true branch. We weren't. Now that's clear. But God is going to turn back again. Our time's limited. I'm telling you. The Gentiles' time's almost up. How many knows that? The Lord's coming. We need to be about the Father's business. Isn't that right? Amen. Look at this. Verse 26, 25. For I would not have you, brethren, ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. The blindness part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles will come in. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And how many knows his name's Israel as well? How many know God called him Israel as well? Jacob. You see, you have to follow the word of God. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. Verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So we can see the gospel and get saved tonight. The Jews can't. But one day, God is going to take their scales off. God's going to do it for them. And we're going to go. Amen. Verse 29, for the gifts and callings of God. Let me go back to verse 28. As concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. And everybody quotes verse 29 to gifts. And it can be, but it means more than that. It's talking about Israel. Gifts and callings of without repentance. God is talking to Israel. That he hasn't forgotten them. No matter what they've done, he hasn't forgotten them. Amen. For the gifts and callings are without repentance. Verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also not obtained, not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers.
brothers and sisters, it's absolutely all election.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
And it is God that puts you in and nobody takes you out. It's election.
Amen.
And God is going to turn to his own people, Israel, again. And he's going to save them. My time's gone, and I'm not going to go on. I could go into the belt of the ephod, and there's so much more I want to say about these garments, but I don't want to go on tonight and keep going on and on. I want to come to close this evening. But I'll tell you one thing, you know, you should never boast, I'm saved, and boy, he's blinded. I've heard Christians saying, we see it, and they don't see it. But you know, you see it because God lets you see it. And if God doesn't let somebody see it, they'll never see it. And you don't rejoice and boast in it, you thank the Lord. And God can open another man's eyes or a woman's eyes. Have you ever read a scripture and you didn't know nothing about it? Tell me that. This evening you ever read a verse and you never could understand it. And one day you just read it and you've seen it.
Now you didn't just read it one day and see it because you read it 20 times. Because you could read it 100 times and never know it.
But the Holy Spirit let you know it. Because that's what he does. The Bible says he's your teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches us all things. Aren't you glad God's going to turn to Israel?
Amen.
And we're leaving. And we have won in the glory tonight.
Glory.
Brother and sister, be encouraged this evening. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened in your most holy faith. No matter what you're going through, the Lord is near you tonight.
Amen.
The Lord hears you. The Lord will help you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will strengthen you. And I tell you, when the bride of Jesus Christ goes and tribulation comes in, God's going to turn to them Jews. Then there's going to be others as well. It's going to be called foolish virgin. And they're going to have their heads cut off, some of them. In that tribulation time. But they'll be saved. And then there's a number coming out of the tribulation that no man can number.
Amen.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, this book's a big book, isn't it? God's message is a big message. Let's stand our feet this evening, praise God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. And if you have a need in this service tonight, and you would want prayer, just where you are, slip your hand up before the Lord. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Praise God. And if there's anyone listening in tonight, you need to be ready to meet the Lord. And there's only one way to be ready.
Amen.
That's to be in Christ Jesus. Be in Christ Jesus. Turn from your sins. Repent of them. Call upon the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. And you'll be in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray that something that's been said will bless and touch your people. To all that's listening in this evening, bless them and touch them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you for the hands of Sreese. Bless those that's lifted their hands, whatever their needs are this evening. May you meet their every need. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you're our high priest. And you're in heaven. On our behalf this evening. Lord, I'm asking you for all the nurses, all the doctors through this land, that you'll bless them, strengthen them. Lord, for all those in care of different places and different wee homes, bless them and strengthen them, Lord, tonight. And Father, we do pray for thy own people, Israel. We pray for the nation of Israel that thou will bless them, for we know you're going to save them, and you're going to seal them. Lord, we know you're coming again for your bride. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and catch thy waiting bride away. Save her sons. Save her daughters. Save the husband. Save the wife. Save the mother. Save the father. The aunt, the uncle, the niece, the nephew. We ask for mercy for every one of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening as Brother Gary and our Sister Alva come. And Thursday night, we'll be continuing on our prayer and Bible study. And then next Sunday morning, our elder Brother John will be preaching next Sunday morning. Pray for Brother John. Pray for all the services. And the Lord bless each and every one. God bless you.
Amen. Let us sing that hymn as we leave. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people. Come and take.